Right, well, we're going to start with one of these.
Mayo, Simon Mayo.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
The podcast.
Greatest Hits Radio.
Hey, we got a jingle. How about that? Do you think the bit at the end sounds a bit like Cliff? Hang on, I'm just going to play it again.
Mayo, Simon Mayo.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
The podcast.
Greatest Hits Radio.
That bit, that sounds like Cliff Richard.
It's quite jazzy.
Devil Woman? What? No?
Well, that's is one of his hits. But
just
he's had like
Mistletoe and Wine.
200 hits. You're okay. We're now going to just go
Summer
through.
Holiday?
And another one.
No.
More and
like
one.
Daddy's Home, I think.
Oh,
it
right.
was more
okay.
like Daddy's Home.
Okay.
Anyway, so look, here we are. It's a summer bonus, fabulous thing from Greatest Hits Radio. The rules are slightly looser. Anyway, we'll come to that.
Mm.
Assorted sinful members of the Greatest Hits audience will be gathered herein to tell their tales of deceit, debauchery and deception, seeking dispensation from Sister Susie from the pub, who is here, Brother Matthew from the gutter, he is here,
yeah,
and the rest of the world. This week's collection is the first of your three bumper summer editions. I always used to love the bumper comic editions.
Yes.
You get. It's like a double bonus issue and had to last you for the whole holiday.
Absolutely. And they do one at Christmas, but the one in the summer would always be
better.
Obviously set at the beach.
Yes.
And ice cream vans, that kind of thing.
A summer sizzler.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it includes some of our favourite tales that we've had since we returned to this here gig back in March. So we're going to start with the one that made Matt laughed so much that he knocked over his equipment in the attic.
Really?
Because back when we started, you were in the attic.
Yes, I was,
if you remember. Yeah. So here is, those are the days when you weren't even in the building. Here is PJ from Leeds's tale, Voulez...
You didn't get it right last time, either.
No,
brilliant.
I know, that's because I've missed a word out, sorry.
Voulez-vous
confesser.
Avec moi ce soir. Anyway, that's a bit rubbish. PJ in Leeds with tonight's confession, then here we go. Dear Father Simon, the Forgiving Collective, seeing the revival of this feature has brought to mind the following story from my dim and distant past. This is also a great excuse for Simon to practice his superb French accent, which always goes down well
here
with
we
Brother Matthew.
Go.
The year is 1996, the location, the glorious city of Hull. I had graduated from Hull University that summer, but had a number of friends who had been studying American studies and had spent their third year studying in the US of A, so still had a final year to complete. So with this in mind, and trying to pretend the real world didn't exist, I decided to stay on in Hull and try to find some gainful employment to enable my student lifestyle of cheap beer and late nights to continue. After a few months of searching, I found a role doing telephone sales of fish for a local fish merchant. This is quite a big enterprise in Hull and had a number of continental clients. One of the requirements for the job was, and I quote, a good level of conversational French. Well, Simon, I had a C in the GCSE French from 5 years earlier, and despite not having spoken a word of the language since, decided to tick this box on the application form.
Yeah.
As we all would have done. This again came up in the interview. Yes, yes, absolutely not a problem.
Yes, yes.
Had a problem, I said. I was offered the job and accepted, putting the language issue to the back of my mind. After all, the overseas sales team had two fluent French speakers who dealt with all those pesky continental clients. I mean, how likely was it that it would become an issue? Well, fast forward 3 months to the Easter holiday period. One of the aforementioned sales team was on leave, but the other was covering the client relationships. However, one morning I strolled into work, a little delicate after the previous night's exertions at the Tower nightclub, and was met by a concerned sales manager. Sarah had called in sick that morning and there was no one to cover the French sales team, and a large order was due to be placed that day with one of the biggest clients. He knew I hadn't dealt with them before. Seeing as I could speak French, though, could I handle the call that day? A cold sweat formed on my head and I started to panic. Clearly, the obvious thing to do now was to fess up and take the relevant punishment. But that could mean losing my job and my flat and my nights out with my American studies colleagues. Sure, no problem, I said. He offered me his office so I could take the call in peace and quiet, which I gladly accepted. Arrangements were made and I closed the office door and dialed the number. So this is now acted out in drama style.
Great.
Me. Bonjour. Je m'appelle Paul. J'habite in Hull. This is the limit of my French approaching, says PJ. Jean-Pierre, it might have been his name.
No, it wasn't.
Unintelligible French reply. No idea what he said. Me. Comment ça va? Him. Unintelligible French reply. Panic rising in my voice. Je voudrais la pêche. Him. Long pause. More completely unintelligible French. Me. Full-fledged panic. Pêche. Pêche le coq, la haddock. Le salmon. Poisson. Piscine. Clearly French for swimming pool. By this time, I'd lost the plot. Him at the other end. Unintelligible, exasperated French. Me. Okay, thanks. Bye, au revoir, kind of. I hung up. Well, what was I to do? I didn't want to lose my job, but couldn't see another way out apart from filling in the order form with some made-up numbers and hoping for the best. What could go wrong? I completed the paperwork, told the sales manager all was good, sloped off home for the afternoon, claiming sickness. Massive hangover, in other words. The next day, I rolled up and there was a mighty kerfuffle going on. Deliveries had been made to the French client, which bore no resemblance to the order that they'd placed, and they had four times as much fish as to sell as normal. The sales manager quizzed me. I confirmed the conversation had gone well and said the mistake must be at their end.
Yeah, quite right.
He looked very nonplussed, but bizarrely seemed to believe my story, muttering under his breath about the blooming French, Waterloo, Agincourt, Crecy and Trafalgar. Anyway, he wandered off to try and solve the issues. No more was ever said about the incident. I left the firm shortly afterwards for unrelated issues, says Peter. But I seek absolution from the following. Jean-Pierre at the French customer place for randomly shouting out water-based French words during a sales conversation. Also, my bosses at the company in Hull, who had to work hard to rebuild a relationship with one of their prestige clients. And most of all, Madame Pompadour, my French teacher at school, for not properly listening during my lessons and the appalling state of my conversational French, which arose as a result. Yours, seeking absolution as ever, PJ in Leeds. So let's just check in with producer Susie, breaking away from her hatch, serving in the few pints there. What do you make of PJ in Leeds?
Well, I think PJ... do you know what? I studied American studies and I also had lots of people who asked me, so what's that then? So I think for that alone, I might forgive PJ. But also, I think that it made Matt laugh so much he fell off his chair in the middle there. So for that reason alone, forgiven, PJ, forgiven.
Brother Matthew.
Yes, I did. That was the first of these where I knocked my equipment over because I was laughing. I'm definitely going to forgive. I love the fact that he went to his GCSE French with the j'habite à Hull, j'ai 12 ans, qu'est-ce que c'est la fage. I'm definitely going to forgive. I love the fact that the payoff as well, that he says his French teacher was Madame Pompadour. I mean, come on. Definitely forgiven.
Simon Mayo's
Confessions Podcast
on Greatest Hits Radio.
Okay, thank you for this, Simon and the Confessional Alliance. Great to have you back at a sensible time with an excellent show format. In great spirits, not attempting to gain favour before you read my confession, honest, but I'm just putting that
before you. Well done.
Nice.
It's great. My confession is from a number of years ago, but spans from when my son was 9 through to when he was 14, so covers a long period of deception, and for that I plead for your forgiveness from the Alliance and from him. A mother's love for her son can never falter. However, a son's love for his mother follows a trail of ups and downs, hopefully more ups than downs. As a side issue, you might like to know my son is now a healthy, happy 36-year-old with a new baby daughter of his own. I think this comes under extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
And here comes some more from Kay. I should explain the background. My son James was born 4 weeks premature and quite ill, requiring major surgery soon after birth and several ops and regular hospital visits. His first year of life was, to say the least, a worrying hard time, but we survived. By the time James was 9, we were down to 2 regular, 3 monthly trips to the hospital, a car journey to the Children's Hospital in East London. This involved the wonderful A10 road and a long, boring road from North Hertfordshire and the North Circular Road. There's quite a lot of detail.
Yeah,
it's a good travel. It's a good drive time confession. This is where my confession of the misdemeanor begins. James had and has a happy, fun, loving, joke-playing nature, always seeing the funny side of the situation. On this particular occasion, as we approached the wonderful roundabout at the junction where the A10 goes over the North yes. Circular Road...
Yes, we know well, yeah.
There are a number of roads coming on to the roundabout. Cars and buses and lorries all heading towards us at speed. I have to be honest, it's not my favourite of roundabouts. I said to James, sitting in the front seat next to me, as children were allowed to in those days, "I really hate this roundabout." "It'll be all right, Mum," he says. "Yes, but I hate it," I say. "Who invented roundabouts anyway?" he says. "I don't know, James, but he was an idiot," I say. This led to me saying the following. "Well, I've had enough. I'm going to close my eyes whilst driving around this roundabout. It's just all too frightening." To which James says, "No!"
No!
Yes,
and
right.
Off we went. All the way around the roundabout, eyes tightly closed. "Mum!" Anyway, at this point, I should probably say that actually I'd only closed my left eye.
Okay.
The right eye was wide open, watching the traffic coming towards us on the roundabout, but he couldn't see that. To a child, his parent was driving around the roundabout with his eyes closed. Anyway, we survived. Needless to say, on the return journey, I did exactly the same and continued for the next 5 years.
Brilliant.
Every 3 months with me pretending to close my eyes, driving around this roundabout. Each time the cry of "No!" filled the "Mum, don't do it with your eyes shut. It's against the law. Someone will call the police. You'll go to prison." Anyway, so this is what I have done on a regular basis. So I need forgiveness from the Confessional Alliance for playing such a trick on James, and for any drivers at that particular junction who may have heard James yelling "No" and wondering what the problem was. As I mentioned, he now has his own baby daughter, so now is probably as good a time as any to say, "Son, first point, I'm sorry. My eyes weren't closed. I actually had one eye open all the time. 2, always drive carefully with both eyes
yes,
open."
Yes,
this is an important
yes.
point to put in here. I don't know if Susie, the producer, has actually added this point.
Yeah.
Always drive carefully with both eyes open at all times.
Definitely.
And 3, that time when we came downstairs one Christmas morning to find that you'd wrapped the front door and adjoining windows on the outside to our house in wrapping paper, neatly tied with a bow so we couldn't get out of the house. Not funny. And
that's
I don't know where
good.
You got the idea from. Anyway, please look kindly on me and forgive me as I carried this minor infringement for so long, but I can carry it no more, and I fall at your forgiving feet, if indeed feet can be forgiving. Let's just check it with Sister Susie. I mean, this is a terrifying thing to inflict on a poor child. What do you say, Sister Susie?
Oh, well, Kay, there's many things that I like about this one. I like that you're having a joke. I like that your son has obviously got a jokey nature, wrapping up the door in wrapping paper sounds excellent. My mum used to do a similar thing, although it wasn't as dangerous, and I thought she was magic for a very long time, is when we were at the traffic lights, she used to blow and change them to green from
wow,
red.
Oh, that's cool.
And I thought it was amazing. And she was just like, "All right, we've been waiting for a while." And I was like, "Wow." So I think it's excellent. And it's all about the confessions of lying to your children.
I
think that's fine. I'm going to forgive you.
Brother Matthew, what
yes, we always forgive when it involves lying to your kids. I know that. I know that roundabout, and it is dreadful. It's the A10, the A406. We could do a feature of let's talk about roundabouts on Drive Time. But I'm definitely going to forgive. And closing one eye, that was okay. I'm sure it'll be fine. Let's not delve too deeply into that one though. So yes, I am going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
The podcast. Greatest Hits
Radio. So that was Kay's confession. "Baby, you can drive my car. but not like that. A classic lying to your children confession, which prompted a few other reveals of lying to children in the People's Verdict, like this.
Jim in Somerset says, lying to your kids is always allowed. I would blow a kiss at the car and it would magically open. Jessica says, forgiven when we first had a car with auto stop start. I used to say it was voice controller and shout, car stop, into the air vent.
Very good.
When my son used to try it, I'd tell him it was only programmed to my voice.
It has to be said that, I would say, if asked, it's your favourite category,
Matt.
It
is. I love the lying to your kids. The saying that the smoke alarm red light is Father Christmas watching. I love that. Love all of that.
The most shocking of which was definitely the family who went on holiday to Cornwall. Uh-huh. And the youngest child asked, when they were going over a little kind of a humpy bridge, why there was a little humpy bridge. And the mum said, well, there was a troll that lives under the bridge and he stole your baby sister. Something like that.
Wow.
Anyway, and the kid believed it. And
obviously.
It was, believed it for a whole year until the next year and then asked about what happened to his baby sister. You think, wow.
That's so mean.
Absolutely.
The lying to the children ones are a bit mean. We got an email in the other day that said they lied to their children saying the ice cream van, when they play a song, they ran out of ice cream.
Yeah,
so
done that.
So they saved all the money on the
check.
Ice
creams.
Yes. Well, it may well be that you have something like that. Or maybe those confessions have made you feel slightly awkward. Well, make yourself feel better. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now, this is the part of the podcast where we would like to delve into our post bag, which we still call it.
Yeah, imagine those days.
And catch up on any confessions correspondence. So if you have subscribed to the podcast or just want to tell us how much you love us, because
yes, we like that.
We're very, very fragile.
We are very Indeed. Fragile, yeah.
We have a very kind of thin ego system and we need a little bit of support. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. We might read it out in future podcasts. There are even rumours that there may be some coveted car stickers.
Car stickers? Did we ever get those at the other place? I don't think we did.
I know that there was one because my mum's got one on the back
really?
Of our car. Still.
Still?
I tried to peel it off.
Taken off.
Unfortunately, it looked as
though that car.
Her car was about to collapse.
Oh, right. Okay.
Under the pressure.
Yeah. There's a metaphor.
Anyway, so there's a thing. So we have car stickers and they're up for grabs.
Well, I don't have them yet. But
no, okay. That's
no, let's not overpromise stickers.
Let's take that again. Yeah. We're not 100% certain.
Exactly.
We're not guaranteed.
Brilliant.
But you might get a car sticker if you get some correspondence read out here. Like Oliver's mini confession, for example. Oliver emailed to say, I've just bought a narrowboat and I've killed more bugs in the last 24 hours than I have ever done in my life. This includes a butterfly, but that was a mistake.
How are you killing bugs with they don't go that fast, do they?
From Oliver on the Coventry Canal somewhere.
Well, Oliver's clearly going too fast on his canal. I mean, seriously, these things go like 10 miles an hour, don't they?
Slower than bugs.
Slower than bugs. You'd think a bug would be able to outrun
that. A bug would overtake you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, these bugs are clearly thick.
And deserve to die.
They're made kamikaze bugs. Yes. They actually thought, there's a nice looking boat. I'm going to go, there's Oliver. I'm going to crash into Oliver. Although the butterfly
is... about the butterfly.
Yes, that's yes. not... That's not a good thing. Mm. It's my wildlife voice. So, no forgiveness, I think, for Oliver. See, obviously, a confession normally has to be like a couple of pages of stuff, not 27 pages or anything like that.
Your
but
biography.
We can always break the rules. Also, we've done children's confessions before, haven't we? Like,
yes.
They can be just two or three lines and very innocent, unlike the rest of them. But anyway, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. But we're not going to forgive Oliver, I don't think.
No.
If you have a mini confession, any kind of confession, just drop it on an email and we'll try and include it in a future pod or future broadcast. Now we're going to trawl the gutter. We're going to highlight the confessions that haven't made the cut due to obvious reasons. So I have to say that they're all pretty much family entertainment, aren't they? You can have the radio on in the car, in the house, and you're not going to be embarrassed.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
That's not necessarily true of this next section.
Is this the X-rated stuff?
Well, it's not an X, really.
Yes,
I think it's PG and 12.
Okay. I think it might be stretching the PG.
You haven't read them.
Okay. Well, for example, Vonnie says... this is all stuff that we haven't broadcast, okay? This has not gone out.
Not gone out,
for the pod.
Okay.
Vonnie, putting fiberglass in the underpants of your now ex-husband to get back at him for his affairs might have been justified.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not suitable for tea time radio. Think of the chafing. So that's the kind of thing. Although I do remember reading out a confession of from a woman who discovered that her husband was having affairs and had rubbed some chili, chopped a chili and rubbed the chili oil into the underpants. Because the thing about that is when the chili oil is dry, it's all fine. But then as the chili oil warms up...
As it will.
And that kind of thing is not acceptable.
Not anymore.
Also, you might put someone in hospital because it's actually very, very dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
don't
not
do that,
funny.
Kids.
So,
yeah.
Vonnie, not funny.
Vonnie, a bit funny.
Okay.
Vonnie is a bit funny.
Yes. Angus in Godalming says...
Godalming.
Godalming, is it?
Yes, not
Angus in Godalming.
No, Godalming.
Godalming says...
No,
I'm going to get it. Angus in Godalming.
Yes.
There you go. Him and his wife were agonising over whether they'd broadcast the tale of him and his workmates gathering dried mucus, collecting it in a matchbox, and then popping them into your manager's Bombay mix. To put it simply, no, Angus, this would not pass the filter. Not allowed to put bogeys into the Bombay mix. That's not allowed.
So disgusting.
It is a little. I mean, Bombay mix, though, you know.
It was worse than that.
Anyone who eats Bombay mix,
frankly.
And also,
how do you not spot it in your Bombay mix?
I don't eat Bombay mix, Suze. That's,
I've avoided that. But I did lose a tooth on Bombay mix because it was, like, super crunchy and it was obviously stronger than my tooth. But anyway, someone who just wanted to be known as the letter P, just because you didn't like your dad's pet bird doesn't mean it was okay to put beer or vodka in its drinking water.
What? Wow.
I mean, I feel uncomfortable at this point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It didn't end well.
I'm going to pass that on to... No, we're not. But, you know, that's a classic... I'm just mentioning that here as something that we
don't approve of.
Is never going to get on the radio.
Never going to get
on. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
No wonder you were just pee. Yeah.
Yes. Susie, what have you got?
I've got a mechanic mic. So, you know... It doesn't matter how obnoxious your boss was, Mechanic Mike. He didn't deserve you swapping out the antifreeze in his car with something a lot less fresh and a lot more yellow in colour.
OK, we've all got that in our heads as to what was being put into his car. And it won't have worked, will it? Would have made it roadworthy, Suze.
Also, think of the heater in the car heating up and the smell.
Oh, stinkerama.
Does that get into the car? Maybe it does. I'm not a mechanic like Mike. and Gary, what can we say? A confession involving a Spanish shopkeeper accusing you of shoplifting and searching you for the stolen goods when you were only wearing budgie smugglers is something you should probably keep to yourself. So how's he getting, you're not going to accuse, if they're only wearing said smugglers.
That's apparently right.
Use your imagination.
I'm using my imagination, so with my filth of a mind, I can't see what was going on.
Well, it depends what they were browsing.
Browsing, yeah.
What they were browsing?
In the shop.
Anyway, we're going to move on. Just to be clear, confessions...
I love being the only one that's not understood that. Brilliant.
Confessions of this nature, none of these confessions are acceptable. Or amusing in any way. If you've got something like it, though, confessions are great. It's radio.co.uk. But here's the thing. If you want the smart speaker and if you want it broadcast on the radio, it has to be read out in front of a family audience. And we can change things here and there. And we can soften things. But in general, it's broadcasting in the broadest sense.
There you go.
For everybody. So back to this week's confessions. Time to revisit one of my favourite ones. As the infamous line... Sir, what are you doing in my kitchen?
Oh, yeah.
It's Jazzy Jeff's confession, Ugandan discussions down at the disco. Today's has a certificate of... You just check with... I think it's a 12 certificate, producer Susie.
Oh, completely agree.
Here we go.
It's a 12. Okay.
Okay.
It comes from Jazzy Jeff. Thank you, Jazzy Jeff, for sending in today's confession. Dear consciences of the nation... Bringers of truth and guardians of justice. Having recently retired from the travails of teaching history, I feel an urgent need to seek absolution from an event that is still burnt into my memory nearly 25 years after the event. And let me tell you, once you know what happens, these will be burnt into your memory.
Really?
As well.
Oh, good, good.
I was always one, says Jazzy Jeff, to be in the... Work Hard and Play Hard Brigade.
Okay.
Now, already I've lost patience with Jazzy Jeff.
There we go.
Because has, we've all met people who say that. And basically it means I behave very, very badly on a regular basis. But it's okay because I'm very hard at work, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, no, it just means you're a moron. Anyway, so Jazzy Jeff continues. Sorry for that little diversion.
Interlude.
Work Hard and Play Hard Brigade. And after a hard week's teaching, I thought nothing of spending the weekend supporting a variety of hostelries and clubs. One such establishment operated as a kind of late-night club and disco for a clientele that would be best described as divorced and desperate. I don't imagine it was your kind of place, Father Simon, to be honest, nor Sister Susie, and I'm not quite sure about...
No. Moral of a sewer rat, so, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As I quite easily fitted into both of those categories and had done for some years, it was naturally my last port of call on a Friday night, as it stayed open till 2, I think I mentioned that. Imagine my delight then when, one Friday, I attracted the attention of an attractive 30-something who seemed vaguely familiar and seemed to strike up a quick and warm rapport with me. Soon we were locked in discussions of early Etruscan pottery, Swedish foreign policy after 1600, and although she wasn't sure about some of the finer points of the Schleswig-Holstein question, I was happy to explain.
Very good.
Wow.
Has the Schleswig-Holstein question been discussed on Grace Hits Radio before? No. I'm happy to put that right. Indeed, says Jazzy Jeff, such was the rapport that we soon decided to continue the earnest and intense academic discussions back at her place.
Okay.
Time passed.
Yes, it did, didn't it? Yeah. Yes, it did. Yeah.
The next morning, I threw on my discarded multicoloured T-shirt, bunged on my tatty boxer shorts, and headed down to find the kitchen and coffee. Succeeding at both, I was enjoying a brew when I heard a sharp gasp from the kitchen doorway, and then what can best be...
Oh, no.
..could best be described as an indignant and horrified shout with a side order of disbelief.
Oh, no, 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 no.
It went like this. Sir, what are you doing? What are you doing in my kitchen?
Oh, no.
To my horror, I locked horns with Foghorn Frieda, a 13-year-old who I'd only said cheerio to about 24 hours earlier as she exited my classroom.
Oh, no.
And I'd regularly failed to engage in learning, and in a very teenage way, she'd always let me know that my lessons were rubbish. And the subject worse. Before I'd even finished the world's lamest response... I was just passing, and I thought
I
needed
some coffee
in my underwear.
Yeah.
She looked me up and down, swung on her heel, and stormed upstairs. No wonder her mum looked vaguely familiar. I'd been chatting to her at a parents' evening just a few weeks earlier. And here is my need for forgiveness. Not from Foghorn Frieda. Her mum and I dated for 6 months and she eventually got used to it. But to all my colleagues who over the rest of the term had their lesson ruined by pupils butting in with such questions like, is it true that Mr. Jeff was at Frieda's? Did you hear that... Mr. Jeff, was it? Does he really wear green and yellow boxer shorts?
Wow.
No call for that. I throw myself even at your mercy. Well, I'm not sure how this is going to go for Jazzy Jeff, but I do think the line, sir, what are you doing in my kitchen, is the kind of thing that will stay with you for a while. Let's check in for forgiveness. Sister Susie, producer of the show.
Yeah, well, it's a nice story. You know, I think all teachers probably fear that thought of going out with one of their students' parents. But I don't like that he called himself Jazzy Jeff. It's a bit like that work hard, play hard. I'm Jazzy. And also, calling the club divorced and desperate. He dated this Foghorn Frieda's mum for you know, a couple of months after that.
Yes.
And you classed her as divorced and desperate. So for those reasons, from me... Not forgiven.
Oh, I like this. It's a not forgiven from Sister Susie. Things are looking bad for Jazzy Jeff. I might have added the Jazzy myself, by the way.
Oh, really?
But anyway,
it's something he would do.
I think he deserved it. Brother Matthew.
I mean, takes two to tango on this, really, doesn't it, Jeff? I'm going to say, I mean, my instinct is to forgive. However, the green and yellow boxers what on earth is going on there? Green and yellow, those don't go together in
Norwich
boxes.
Norwich City supporter.
Oh, really? Well, that's as maybe. Obviously, this has been seared into the memory of poor Foghorn Frieda, and indeed for all of us, I think. So I'm going to err on the side of forgiving Jazzy Jeff, despite the name and despite the playing hard, working hard in the green and yellow boxes.
Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast on Greatest Hits Radio.
Babs, thank you. Simon, so brilliant to hear you and the team back for drive time. That always helps. Forgiven.
Yes.
I have a confession that my daughter has been urging me to send you for years and years. We enjoyed so many times on the school run. She's now about to go to medical school to study medicine. Surprisingly. So here goes. I mean, who'd have thought you go to medical school for that? But that's what she's doing. I was one of a handful of female dental students at a huge teaching hospital in South London in the late 1970s. In those days, if you were a male and good at rugby, you were almost guaranteed a place at medical or dental school. The macho alpha male was very much alive and generally always kicking. The female students, they declared, were there specifically for their delight and entertainment and were generally not taken seriously, despite the fact that the girls actually had to achieve academic excellence to earn their places, not just be good at rugby. There you go.
Okay, a spoiler alert, definitely forgiven. Whatever she's doing, it's definitely forgiven.
Yeah, I thought so. You wait till you find out who we're talking about. There was one particular blonde medical student, says Babs, let's call him Sebastian, who clearly thought...
Right, here we go.
Who clearly thought he was God's gift to the female species and behaved accordingly, strutting about the hospital in his starched white coat and dangling stethoscope, blowing kisses, being inappropriate and constantly breaking hearts. He was a proud wearer of the newt's tie, a badge of honour worn by edict every Friday to signify his achievement in drinking 8 pints of beer in 1 hour without repercussions. We have, Babs, all met people like Sebastian. Yeah. In those days, says Babs, the dental students were deemed to be more dexterous than their medical counterparts and therefore better at sewing, especially the girls, and were thus used unpaid in the very busy A&E department at nights and at weekends. The real doctors, in the real inverted commas, the real doctors only working 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. Different times, says Matt, as he does.
What?
Yeah, so we were dealing with any minor injuries that required stitching. Most Saturday nights, it would be 2 of us girls on duty all night, stitching up various body parts and dealing with the non-life-threatening injuries, most of which arose following consumption of vast amounts of alcohol. We also saw minor fractures and would help out in the plaster room. Now imagine our delight then when the doors open and a very intoxicated Sebastian, for it is he, was wheeled in having sustained a leg injury during a beer-fueled altercation in the bar after a rugby match. Well, us two girls had had a fraught and busy Saturday night, but we felt it was only fair that we should give him the very best treatment, and we carefully and thoughtfully took our time to apply the very best thigh-to-ankle full-leg cast, and in those days, there was none of this plastic stuff. It was 100% heavy old plaster of Paris. We found him a bed in the corner of the orthopedic ward, and the next morning, as his hangover receded, he came to terms with just how incredibly debilitating it was going to be living with a broken leg. The X-ray was quite clear. Nasty fracture for sure. It was going to be many months without rugby, without squeezing the bottom of every nurse on the wards, and without being able to notch up more conquests in the medical school penthouse bar, as the lift was out of action and 7 flights of stairs was going to be just too much. Well, here we go. Now is a good time to confess, Father Simon, to Sebastian. We decided to strike back at this serial philanderer, this self-styled Casanova, this arrogant, obnoxious, jumped-up, wretched pest of a dentist who thought the sun shone out of his mandibula. Well, guess what, sunshine? Your leg was never broken. We accidentally...
Oh, unlucky!
We accidentally made that bit up. You had your leg in full plaster for two whole months before you were told that there'd been a mix-up with the X-rays and it was just a muscle injury. Our paths never crossed again. So sorry / not sorry. That's from Babs. Well, I instinctively know which way this is going to go. It doesn't. It's not much insight needed, I think, for tonight's confession. Sister Susie, first of all, from the pub.
Well, Babs, I could say, you know, you wasted time, but do you know what? I'm totally on your side. In fact, I applaud your restraint, because if it was me, it'd been like a full body cast or something just to get him out of the way, never have to deal with him again. Forgiven, totally, Babs. You're brilliant.
Do you want to flesh out your answer, Brother Matthew?
I mean, come on. Yeah, I'm actually with Susie on this. I'd have had the bloke in a complete body cast. The whole thing, whole 9 yards. For you, Sebastian Sunshine. I think, bluntly, trying to find someone who doesn't think Babs needs to be forgiven is going to be like trying to find someone who thinks the European Super League's a good idea. # topical. I am going to forgive.
That was Babs' confession, Dr. Kiss Kiss, which I think had Matt on side from the very beginning.
Indeed.
Probably for the character of Sebastian.
Uh-huh.
What is it about names like Sebastian that I think affect you?
It does bring out the class war in me. Anyone who where they start on names such as Jaunty or Sebastian or Jeremy,
Tarquin,
any of those.
What's wrong with Jeremy?
Jeremy, all right.
Jeremy Vine.
Jeremy Vine, obviously. Jeremy. Yeah, I can't think of any others.
But, Irons. Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons, of course. Bit posh. So, any of them, I'm afraid it's not going to end well.
Wow.
Sorry.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. If you are a Sebastian, you can always change your name.
Yeah.
And if you are if you'd like to change your name to Tarquin, that will also be fine because it provides hours of entertainment. Remember to subscribe. So, here's the thing. This is the most important and pathetically pleady thing. Subscribe where you get your podcast from. Don't just click on play, because that's sort of unfair.
Mm. Bit rude.
So you don't miss the next installment of the Bumper Summer Confessions. Remember to like and subscribe if you want the Confession Podcast to continue after the summer. So how should people be behaving then, Matt, at this point?
So what they should be doing is they go onto their device, their phone, whatever, and is it follow now? Is that what you have? Anyway, there's a button you press.
They're all different.
Is it all different? Right, subscribe.
Follow, like,
you
subscribe.
Put subscribe, and then with your very next act, you say it will say, do you want to review this podcast?
Yes, I would like to review this podcast.
It's fabulous. I need the world to know how fabulous it is. And then it'll ask you for how many stars, and you will and ah about how many, and then you will say 5. is it possible to give more than 5? And they'll say, no, you can only give 5. And you go, well, 5 is the amount that I choose to give for this podcast.
And if you can send us proof of your subscription, plus you can subscribe other members of your family, I suppose you...
Yes, you can.
You should maybe
absolutely.
Check that you got their permission.
Well, sometimes do ask their permission, but, you know, I mean, maybe just give it as a gift.
That's
you don't
true.
Even have to tell them, do you? There you go.
Just if you think they'll enjoy it, just pop it on
even,
there.
Even if you don't think
the
they'll
trouble.
Enjoy it.
If you think they'll hate it, serve them right.
Yes, if you don't like them.
You can hear our whole radio show every weekday from 4 on Greatest Hits Radio, but not until the 31st of August when we're all back and super tanned. But you can join Richard Allinson in the meantime, and he's super tanned anyway. But for now, it's goodbye from Matthew.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Susie from the pub.
Goodbye.
And thank you very much indeed for listening. And please subscribe and be on the lookout for another Confessions podcast from Greatest Hits Radio. Is it time for a jingle?
It is.
Oh,
wow,
here we go.
This is the money, everyone.
Here's a new one. Do you want number 4 or number 12?
Number 12, please.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
The podcast. Greatest Hits
Radio. And as a bonus, you get number 4
number
as well.
Number 4 as well?
Oh.
Here we go.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
The podcast. Greatest Hits
Radio. Very good. Oh, there's number 6. Hang on.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
The podcast.
Ooh. Greatest what? Hits Radio.
Number 7.
Simon Mayo's
Confessions podcast.
On Greatest Hits Radio.
That enough?
That's less is more, I think.
Okay, all right.
we won't have anything left for the next pod.
Number 3.
Simon Mayo's
Confessions podcast.
On Greatest Hits Radio.
I think you got the message.